The Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and good evening and welcome to your Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek live on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Ollie Slack and I'm with you until 7 o'clock this evening, looking ahead and back at a week full of football action, starting with Cambridge United. And of course, the U's were involved in a draw in the weekend, a 2-2 draw with Carlisle. What a game that was. But we'll be talking the end of the season with Tim Armitage in just a bit about the U's squad. How many of their men will they be releasing come the summer? Histon played last night. They take on Kirkley and Pakefield. It was a 1-1 draw for them. They continue their 13-match unbeaten run. And manager Lansky will be speaking to us in just a bit. St Neots Town, well, they needed victories and they haven't, unfortunately. They lost 4-1 last night to Colville Town. Disappointing defeat to their manager Mark Abbott. Joins us on the line later on in the show to discuss how they can avoid the drop and escape relegation. And it's nearly party time for Cambridge City Ladies. They're one win away from clinching the East Women's Regional Division Premier title. That's a long-winded sentence, but they are one win away. Manager Tim Rapley will be joining us at the back end of the show to talk us through where his mind at, really, what he's thinking as that finish line approaches for City Ladies not long to go now. But first, let's start with Cambridge United and talk contracts this evening with Tim Armitage, as the U's could release up to as many 17 this summer. Yes, this is the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek, live on Cambridge 105 Radio, and we're talking... God, I need a glass of water. My mouth has gone dry. We're talking Cambridge United, for starters, and Tim Armitage joins me in the studio. Thanks for coming on, Tim.
Evening.
Yeah, so a bit of a change of topic. We'll, of course, talk firstly about the game on the weekend before we delve into the contract issues at Cambridge United, or issues could come in the summer. But on the weekend, a 2-2 draw at Carlisle. You, obviously, as you do, travelled and went up north to watch the U's play. It sounded an entertaining game.
It was a very strange game. We started the game off. I mean, we're away from home. 3 minutes into the game, we've scored a goal, a good goal. And you kind of look at the way we were playing. And I swear we played probably... certainly the best football we've played all year, and probably some of the best football that I've actually seen at this level. We played some really, really good, smooth passing football. And then at about 25 minutes, someone obviously shouted onto the pitch, don't forget you actually can't play football. And all of a sudden they remembered, and we reverted. We were terrible for the last 20 minutes. We conceded 2 goals in 7 minutes. The first one, to be fair, was taken very well, but it was poorly defended. The second one was just poorly defended. We go in 2-1 down, thinking, oh, right, okay, well, that was the chance we had and now we've blown it. We come out again and we didn't really play much better, but towards the end of the game, I wouldn't say we got a lot better. I think it just became a bit mad, because it could have been anything from, you know, 6-6 or 7-1 to them to a 10-all draw. It was that open, end to end, and there were chances being missed everywhere. It was just a very strange game, but I think, you know, we deserved the result we got from it, I think, in the end. And, you know, would we have taken a point up front? Well, probably yes, but we have quite a good record against Carlisle, so I do think that potentially we could count it as 2 points dropped rather than a point gained.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear what Colin Cole thought. I think he was probably quite pleased with the point, obviously, given the U's position. And it seemed that it sort of fell into place, the U's starting lineup, obviously Reggie Lamb being away. So Giovanni Brown and Hayden Coulson were the wide men, and Rashaan Hepburn-Murphy getting a start and getting a goal as well very quickly. It's almost like it sort of found that starting 11. Do you think that's one we'll see moving forward now?
Yeah, I think it looked good. I think that there are arguments about whether Carroll is the best person to occupy the position. And I think there are some quite definite opinions about that going around the place. But
it's a good job not asking Matt about this
one, isn't it? Yeah, not a big fan of Jake Carroll's. But I think it's apart from Jake Carroll, and I think, you know, it's difficult because he's just coming back from injury and he's, you know, he's got to fit back into the side. I think he's not my ideal player there, but he could grow into it over the coming weeks. This is the interesting thing, I think, because of the difficult position we're in needing to still win more games. The one thing you'd hope towards the end of a season, and I think this will hinder the summer, is that you'd want to try out people you've not had a real chance to have a look at, especially some of the younger players, just to see how they might fit in. And I don't think we're going to get that, because I think it's going to go down to the wire before we're safe, unless we have a very good run over the next two, three games.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many points are you sort of predicting that will keep the use up?
Six could do it. I think nine to be safe, six could do it though. It depends. I mean, it's interesting that everyone else is doing their best to kind of, you know, not make it much of a competition for us. So that's, you know, so that's a help anyway.
Yeah, so the U's currently 20th, which is fifth bottom. Obviously, the bottom two go down. The U's on 42 points. Yeovil Town, third bottom of 36. Macclesfield, obviously the key one, 34 points. The U's 8 points clear at the drop of the minute. You don't want to be relying on other sides.
No, you don't, because Macclesfield are putting together a good run. Yeovil seem to be in free fall, although one at the weekend. Port Vale, you don't know what they're going to do. Morecambe could drop down as well. So anything could happen. You kind of got to look at Macclesfield and say, given the way they've kind of turned it round, they've got to have a reasonable chance of going up. Going out of the second.
They'll take that.
That'd be some recovery. but I think they could actually escape, and I think you could end up in a position where Yeovil go down with Notts County. But again, I've said this all along, at some point Notts County are going to put together a string of wins, and it just hasn't happened.
Yeah,
we said on Sunday, is what price would you have got at the start of this season for Notts County to be going down?
Incredible.
You know, given that everyone was talking about those potential favourites to win the league, and they've just had a disaster. How does it happen?
If they do go down, it's going to be very strange seeing their name in the conference next season.
Yeah, it is.
Big weekend though this weekend. Yeah. They've taken Colchester aside, who are really in a poor run of form. And if they can win at home, looking down at the bottom of the screen, in Macclesfield take on Lincoln, obviously away from home as well. So it could be a big weekend.
Yeah, again, I think, I mean, you know, the management cliches come out. They don't look at what anyone else is doing. And you can't, because you can't rely on what's going on. You've just got to get on and win your games. And I think I kind of think this might be a draw. I don't think we'll lose, but I think it'll be a draw. But Matt's confident that we'll actually win.
Blimey.
So, yeah. well, given the performance we had earlier on in the season against them, I'm certainly not confident that we're going to win. But I think given their run at the moment, I think and our home form, I think that there's a good chance of at the very least a point, and we could do it. And I think that will be pretty much, you know, the certainly the start of the final chapter of this season if we can get 3 points this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be looking at the Checker Trade game as what to go for the win. Adi Aziz scored goals for fun.
Yeah, I know. We've still got, of course, welcome back Adi Aziz.
Oh, God, yeah, looking forward to that. I wonder what reception he'll get. Cambridge United could release 17 players this summer then, Tim. This is according to transfermarket.co.uk. So a few of those obviously youngsters as well. So five of them are young players like Sir Lee Watkins, Tom Knowles, Sam Squire, Finn Iron and Matty Foy. So I guess it'd be rude to comment on them, not seeing much of them. One of them as well is Kevin Pilkington, who is obviously our third choice keeper and also our goalkeeping coach. So in terms of the list we've got in front of us now, I'm going to sort of, in very sort of school register style, read them out to you. And I guess you've got to...
Stay all game, is that it?
Ooh. Yeah, in terms of where you think that, I guess their youth careers progress, whether you think it's success or failure, would you keep them on come the end of the season? So I guess starting with the top of this is Jabo Bire, a player who... Is at times he looks really good in games, holds the ball up well, but just hasn't scored enough goals. No. And his first away goal of the season, and in fact, I think for something like 38 away games, was this the last weekend against Carlisle.
It's difficult to say with Jabo. I mean, it depends on how we recruit outside of that. If we can find a striker, then no, he goes. If we can't find a striker, we're better off with him than potentially with other people. But he hasn't scored enough. He you know, you can't deny that. And he certainly wouldn't, I don't believe. But he does hold up the ball up well. but I'd err on the side of probably not.
Mm-hmm. And David Ford is next. A player, I guess, this is almost probably a decision that's going to be made by him,
yeah,
you'd
I
imagine,
so.
In terms of retirement.
I don't think he'll stay. Should he stay? Well, it depends. Again, are the rumours of how much he earns true? Because if they are, no, he shouldn't stay.
How much of that is down to Dimi Mitov's performance?
I think Mitov has his faults. I don't think he's anywhere near as commanding as David Ford is, but I think he's shown that he's a more than competent goalkeeper, and I'm sure that he'll carry on getting better.
David Amu is next, a player
injury or no injury. Amu without an injury and playing well, yes, I'll keep him.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one, I guess, because we've seen over the years impact has been made off the bench, and we've seen what a player really could be.
Yeah.
Then I guess perhaps hasn't really grasped his opportunity from the start of times.
No, but then there's a lot of people guilty of that. So
Gary Deegan, I guess this is probably one of the more...
You've got to, because otherwise you've got no one to award man of the match to. So no, Gary Deegan, yes, I would definitely keep.
Yeah, George Taft, obviously another one who's been at the club for numerous spells on loan.
I'll keep him.
Nominated, I think, for one of the Player of the Month recently as well. I think Dimi Mitov might have nicked that for February. Jake Carroll, right, this is imagine one that splits opinion. I know what Matt would say.
Yeah, I was going to say, Matt'll say no. Again, depending on recruitment, I'd keep him, actually, I think.
I think the interesting thing is that I think back to sort of times when the year after we went up, so the first year back in the Football League, then we had that sort of Man United game and we got rid of so many of the players that brought us up and brought in all these new players and really struggled to sort of come together and gel. I think one of the problems that season was a lot of these players who you could... Obviously, wages are a big factor. You don't want to be paying people high money who are on the bench, but you've got to take into consideration it's not just the starting 11, is it? These guys would probably fit in and be very strong squad players.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there should be, yeah.
Okay. Well, and obviously, it's an interesting one trying to talk about because under Joe Dunn, if you'd have asked us at the end of last season, we would have probably said half of these, if not all these players, deserve a new contract with the form they were showing.
Yeah.
And then we see a run of form that we have this season and then we're flipped again.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the problem. I mean, you say Amu's a classic example and so's Jabbo, is you could actually, you could sign them both and have a really, really good season with them if they stay uninjured and they perform to their potential and they fit into the side that's created. Then you could have two good players there, but you could also end up with, two players who don't make much of their chances and don't score many goals, kind of like they've done this year, really. Mm. So it's difficult.
Brad Halliday, a player who's been in and out of form, really, this season. We know he's got, obviously, shown in the past, a lot like all these players, a similar story, have shown they've got a lot of ability but struggled this season.
Yeah, I think, rumour has it, he's going, but I'd keep him, yeah.
Yeah, obviously... The next player as well, similar to Brad Halliday, another player who is probably going to leave. Contract would have already been agreed with another club because they've only got, like I say, there's many of these players, 5-4 months left on their contracts, is George Maris. So you'd expect Brad Halliday and George Maris to move on probably to higher league clubs next season?
George Maris, yes. Brad Halliday, not so sure about. If you believe what you read, then yes, he's going. if not, he's either not going or he's not going to a higher league club. But I'd keep both of them. I know that George Maris has his detractors and he hasn't had the best of seasons, but then neither's the club. Mm. So, has he led by example? I think the really interesting thing is when you look at us playing without him and you can see then you might not think he's made much of an impact, but when he's not been there, we've struggled so much more.
Yeah, I think an informed George Maris in an informed team is a big asset to have. Next for Manny Ozadebe.
I thought he'd gone.
Of course, it's similar to Aziz, where he got shipped out on loan last season, went to Newport and then came back early and could never play again because of a silly rule about sort of playing for two clubs. A player who sort of really hasn't been given many chances, but you'd expect that he'd be one who would move on.
I don't see him having a future here.
A couple of next two really interesting ones. Two young players, different backgrounds though. Leon Davis obviously come up for the academy. Louis John come from non-league, and from the start of the season we thought, wow, what a player we've got on our hands. So your word on both Leon Davis and Louis John?
I keep them both. The interesting thing is, I think Louis John will go because I don't think he fits in at the club for whatever reason, and he's certainly not the player, or he's not performed in the way we saw at the start of the season. You saw him at the start of the season and he looked like the most exciting of the signings over the summer. Then he's come in later on in the season and really not really worked. But I if he can recreate that form that he had at the start of the season, and I think that's just putting him in a side and giving him a chance, then I think, yes, I would keep him probably.
Yeah, and looking at the five youngsters who also contracts could be up at the end of the season, from those, obviously we can't come on exactly because we obviously don't watch them every week, but the one then that sticks out there, a person who many fans have been calling to get action in the first team, is Tom Knowles. Would you expect to see him more next season?
I mean, as I say, in an ideal world at the end of this season, I'd expect all of them to be getting at least a game or two with what's left, and I'm sure they'll want to do that if there's any way they can. Matty Foy has played well away from the club. We've just not seen enough. I mean, you know, given that they won't be expensive, I'd certainly put them, you know, I'd certainly put them on another contract for a year just to see how they get on. But if we're going to do that, we've got to have a plan. I think their futures will have been decided because someone will have said, yeah, we are going to use them, or no, we're not going to use them. There's no point in bringing them on and not doing anything with them. I think, you know, just sending them out on loan for another year, you know, if they've not seen something in them already that convinces them otherwise, I think they'll probably end up going. But I think all of them, potentially, from what I've heard and seen, deserve a chance at least.
Yeah, Lee Watkins is an interesting one, I think, because he's obviously at Cambridge City, speaking to Stephen Warner a lot. Robbie Nightingale's buying players for next season. So whether that is a move to go the next season would be a point to keep an eye on.
Yep.
Like I say, Tom Knowles is the one. And then looking in terms of contracts further down the line, you've got, you know, obviously the loan players will be heading back. But in terms of the players staying here beyond next season, in terms of key players to keep hold of, potentially any clubs might be coming in for, you're probably looking at the likes of Giovanni Brown possibly, or maybe Greg Taylor as your real key players to keep hold of.
Yeah, I think you need to. I don't see either of them attracting massive attention outside of the club. Giovanni Brown is starting to look better than he has done, but I don't think he set the world on fire this year. And I think it would make sense for him to stay another year. He'll either resurrect his career with a better team, or, no, sorry, that sounds awful, call it resurrect his career as though it's gone down the pan. He will either shine again in a good team, or, you know, he won't. I think to move on now, I think he'd be lucky to get, you know, to get a much better deal than he's getting with us at the moment.
Yeah, I think the underlying point really has been is that with most of the players, we're not entirely sure because of the contrast in form we've seen from all of the players over the past couple of seasons. I guess Colin Caldwell is the man who'll have to make the decisions, and it will really be purely down to the player he wants at the club, what you see in this short space of time, the individual he wants at the club.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping that all this talk of who's in charge of recruitment and who
we'll
dictates
start about
what
that
happens,
again.
You know, let's not go down that again. I would hope that a manager of his nous has kind of pointed out that I'm in charge of that. Fine, we'll do it together. But I say yes and I say no, because I think, you know, if what we're hearing has been true, and I'm, you know, whether it is or not, I don't know, then, you know, the control does seem to have been in the wrong place. I get why the structure's been adopted like it has, to keep the backroom staff part of the club rather than part of the manager's entourage. But ultimately, the manager has to play with the players he's got, and therefore he has to have the responsibility to get the players that he wants, albeit money. And that's the thing we don't know is, you know, is there going to be an injection? How much money are we going to lose this year or make this year? Is there going to be an injection of funds? Are we serious about putting together a team? Can we find somebody in the lower leagues who will be, you know, a Giovanni Brown, as he's been to us? You know, there are clubs out there doing a lot with relatively little money. We don't seem to be able to manage that.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see, and I can't wait to him to talk more about who's got the who's got the power at Cambridge United. I look forward to it come the summer, but obviously lots of football still to play, and fingers crossed the Ewes can remain in the Football League. Tim, thank you very much as ever.
No problem.
Let's go to the travel desk.
Cambridge 105 Radio. Sometimes I feel like throwing my head. I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems the going is just too rough.
Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yes, welcome back to the Cambridgeshire Football Show, midweek live on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're turning our attention to talk Histon now, and they are 12 points clear at the top of the Eastern Counties Prem. And after a draw last night with Kirkley and Pakefield, the Stutes now only require 7 more points from their 7 remaining games. I'm delighted to say manager Lance Key joins me on the line now. Thanks for coming on, Lance.
You're welcome. Good evening.
Yeah, Lance, let's talk a bit about last night before we talk about the league position, really. Come up against a tricky opposition, really, in Kirkley and Pakefield, and you managed to get a point out of it.
Yeah, I mean, Kirkley are a physical side, along with us, in a way. And the pitch last night was obviously very wobbly because, obviously, they've dried out now and they were a very direct team, and we knew that it would be a tough nut last night. But in the consequence of everything, you know, the last week of 3 away games and long travelling, you get 7 out of 9 points. I think, a huge achievement from the boys in terms of what they had to go through. But it just shows, I think, a week ago we played Clacton away and probably didn't deserve to win the game. Last night was probably the best of the 3 performances we've put in, ironically, and didn't get what we deserved. But I suppose that's football, so, you know, you take the win sometimes, you take the losses sometimes. So a draw last night is not a bad result. And like you say, I think 6 points is, you know, our goal difference is in our favour, so 6 points could send us out of the line. But 7 is what we need from 7 games, mathematically.
Yeah, and in terms of last night, Lance, obviously conceding pretty early on from the penalty spot as well. So, was there any arguments in terms of that decision?
No, it was a back pass from Rodbody to Sam Roach, and Sam's first touch, unfortunately, when I got away from him, he got a slight touch on the ball as the attacker came onto him, and he brought him down. Obviously, the old rule from last year would have meant that Sam would have got sent off. But the new rule is, obviously, the penalty is given, he stays on the pitch. So, thankfully, we don't lose Sam. But, yes, it was a mistake from Sam, unfortunately. But, you know, it was one of those. I think that, apart from that penalty, they had one other half chance they did. And, if I'm honest, the next 90 minutes, we gave them a lesson of how to play in certain circumstances and conditions. And how we came away with just a draw, it is beyond me, but it's a good point, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And like you say, we're getting close to what we need to get to.
Yeah, I know, like you mentioned, they're pretty dominant in the match, scrolling through the Twitter feed, chances and chances to get back in it. Ed Rolfe and Matt Green as well hitting the bar. Did it feel at that point before, obviously you got the equaliser right on half-time, which I imagine would have been key, but did it feel before that it was just going to be one of those days?
Possibly. It did feel a little bit like that. You know, we felt that, you know, and don't get me wrong, we know we've had a little bit of luck over the last few weeks, you know, with last class winners, but that luck doesn't just come by, you know, by any fluke. You know, the boys put every ounce of effort in for the whole 95 minutes, whatever it takes, and so you may call it luck, whatever. So last night, you think perhaps Lady Luck is going to go against you slightly. It didn't. Ed Rolfe gets equalised just before half-time, and that was merited because it changed my whole team talk at half-time. And then for the next 45, we totally dominated it again. And like you say, Matt Green had a good chance. Ed Rolfe, you know, Danny Gould, we traded some very good chances last night, and the keeper made a couple of good stops. And it just wasn't our night in terms of in front of goal. But, it, you know, in terms of how we created chances and the way we went about it, I was delighted with that performance last night.
Yeah, and if you wouldn't mind, Lance, in terms of in depth, in terms of what you said at halftime, what would have been the difference in messages really, had that goal not got in, and then because the goal went in, what did you change in your team talk? How did it differ?
Well, pretty much before we scored, it was literally one of those things. You know, sometimes you don't get what you deserve, and literally to keep doing what we're doing, and then when we obviously get the goal, it's a case that we then basically say to them again, now we go on and step it up, and we take the game to them. We obviously went behind through a penalty, which was a mistake into the bad point of view. But then obviously to go in the second half, then not to really dwell on what happened in that first half, and can we then go on the front foot and guide them, which we did. And like I say, we did everything but score, and so they responded superbly well. We played a lot of games recently, a lot of long journeys, and so every credit to them. You know, we had a 47-year-old on the bench last night because we couldn't make 14 players. But that's just, you know, part and parcel of what the squad is all about. You know, they expect and want high standards from each other, and last night was no exception. And it goes through the whole camp, and I think that's why we are where we are.
Yeah, definitely so. And like I said then, in terms of the league position, 7 points needed. Obviously, the goal difference is superior, so you probably take 6 points, but mathematically, 7 points is needed from 7 games. Obviously, a great position to be in. Does the mentality change now, Lance, at all? You spoke a lot about blocks in terms of blocks of fixtures and getting results, because almost the block is that you need 7 points. How does your mentality change in terms of how you address the team?
It just now for me, it changes from one game at a time. There's no blocks left now for me. You have 7 games left. We have 7 points to achieve. And so each game, each box is ticked along the way. So we said last night, another box was ticked. We didn't lose. We've set our stall out to try and be unbeaten for the rest of the season. That's the standards we've set. And there are high standards. And, you know, no doubt we probably will lose a game come the end of the season. But like we said last night, everyone's playing also for the cup final shirt on April 10th against Elia at the Abbey. And so that also gives you something to strive for. And I think that, you know, it is literally one game at a time now. And if we can tick a box by getting 3 points on Saturday against Yarmouth, who are fighting for their lives, then great. And then we move on to the next one. And if results go for us, then even better. But it literally will be now one game at a time.
Yeah, and you mentioned that cup game, the 10th of April. Ideally, with 3 games before that, you'd like to get the title wrapped up before then, so I guess you can be fully concentrated on that cup game.
Yes and no. I've said this before with the previous cup ones we've had in the FA Cup and the Vars, more so the Vars, that whilst you're still in a competition, people want to keep that shirt. And I think, you know, if we haven't won the league by the cup final, it may not be a bad thing in the sense of what the cup final could bring, because our hunger will be even bigger. Having said that, the players endeavour to be in that first team. You know, we've rotated it. It doesn't matter how I've tried to change it this year. We've still seemed to be as strong as ever. And obviously, you've got two guys at the top of the goal scoring charts in Max and Dan, which also help. And Ed Rolfe now, I think, on 18 goals. You know, we've got three guys that have scored lots of goals for us. And it's the confidence is sky high. You know, we the standards we've set this year, hopefully we can maintain that for the rest of the season. If we can do that, then I'm sure we, you know, we're saying this in line, I'm sure or hopefully we can get the 6 or 7 points we are needing. But yeah, the cup final won't be a distraction for me. It's more of a something to focus on and get us to where we need to, along with the league.
And we are talking a bit in theory, obviously, here, I guess, with the title not yet wrapped up. But in argument's sake, for example, Histon do manage to get the title wrapped up soon. With games to spare, do you... as a manager, would you prefer to, you know, still play your strongest side, Lance, and try and win every game and go for a certain points tally, or would you then automatically then plan ahead for next season, or in terms of maybe playing youngsters or looking ahead to your squad shaping up for next year?
I think that's a difficult question in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, hypothetically, as you said, I would like to think that we would still try and play our strongest side, but also we have a scholarship system where we have three or four youngsters that need to be kind of bled to see where they stand and how they get on. Now, obviously, if we can get the job done early doors, that will mean we can use one or two of them in the last four or five games, if possible, or three or four games, whatever it might be. So I think that is our answer to the question. Yes, I think that if we have won it, then we may bleed one or two youngsters in to see what they're like. I've watched them over the last two or three weeks. The scholarship has improved, you know, undoubtedly under Matt Lee, and the standard of their players has improved also. So, and that's what the scholarship is for, is to sort of bring them into the first team squad. Now, the problem is you have is that the difference between their level and our level is quite big, and if we get promoted, it will be even bigger. And it's a combination of physicality and actually understanding the game. So, if we can help them in that sense by bringing them in for a couple of games towards the end of the season, it will help everybody.
Lance, thank you very much. Fourth bottom, great Yarmouth Town this week, and look forward to chatting to you on the Cambridge Football Show before then. But thanks for coming on the line.
Cheers, Ollie. Thank you, guys.
Lance Key there talking Histon. Of course, they were involved in a 1-1 draw against Kirkley and Pakefield last night. They're 12 points clear at the top of the Eastern Counties Premier Division, and the situation, the equation is clear. 7 points from their 7 games remaining.
Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yes, you're listening to the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek live on Cambridge 105 Radio. And we're moving on and talking Cambridge City ladies now. And they're only one win away from clinching the Eastern Region Women's Football League Premier Division title after an impressive 5-0 victory over Wymondham Town Women on the weekend. And we're joined by manager Tim Rapley now. Tim, thanks for coming on the show.
Hello, Ollie.
Yeah, Tim, before we talk about the title, let's just talk quickly about the weekend game. What an impressive win it was on Sunday, 5-0.
Yeah, it was a fantastic win. It was against the team that are second in the league at the moment, and we were expecting a tough game. I think we beat them at home. I think it was 2-1 or 3-2, can't remember. It was only by the odd goal. So to get a 5-0 win away from home on not a particularly good pitch, very bobbly, quite difficult to play football on. So the 5-0 was absolutely fantastic, yeah. Really pleased.
Yeah, I guess it shows your dominance in that division. Like you say, second place at the minute, Wymondham. So it was a really impressive victory against a tough outfit.
Yeah, they can be. They play some nice football. They're well-drilled and well-coached. But I think we said a bit too much for them. As you mentioned, we're very good at... in terms of our goal scorers, we do share the goals around at the moment. And, yeah, once we got the first goal in the first half, their goalkeeper did have to go off second half due to an earlier injury from one of their own players in the first half. But, yeah, we look very comfortable, very confident. And, another 3 points towards our goal.
Yeah, and now 2 points away from winning the title. Had I told you that at the start of the season, in March you've got a chance of winning the title, you'd have probably bit my hand off, Tim, wouldn't you?
I certainly would have done, yeah. I was hopeful that we could go one better than we did last year. We came runners-up last year by just the odd point to Billericay, who are doing pretty well in the division above us after they got their promotion. But to have an opportunity on Sunday to clinch the league at home, which is our last home league game of the season, is brilliant. Yeah, I'm really pleased. I know everyone is really chuffed and really looking forward to Sunday's game. It'll be a tough one because we're playing Peterborough Northern Star, who themselves have been up there most of the season. They've got quite a few games in hand on the others, but if we can, get the win on Sunday, that will be job done. And we can then have a bit of a party, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you mentioned Billericay there, Tim. Obviously, a side who'd gone up from your division last season, now doing really well in the division above, actually in Cambridge United's division. Does a side like that inspire you to really show what you can do next season?
I think I've got to be a little bit careful because I know that they did have quite a lot of new players coming in as a result of going up a league. I think they got quite a lot of players from Basildon, who I think disbanded around about the time that they obviously got promoted. So I think, you know, so you have to be a little bit careful that it's not exactly the same team that got promoted that have done so well. But I think if you're moving up the leagues, you do have to recruit players the higher you go. We've obviously got a very good nucleus of ladies that play for City. We've picked up one or two on the way, and I'd imagine we'd have to do the same again if we want to be competitive in the league.
And what a way to win it this weekend it could be against rivals Peterborough Northern Star. I guess any Peterborough side when you're playing Cambridge is a rival at home too, so a really great opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. You are right. The games against Peterborough sides are generally pretty physical. We did play them first game of the season over at their place, and we ran out, I think it was 5-2 winners. And that was, again, a physical game, but one we did very well in. Fast forward since August to play them in our last home league game to clinch the title. If that's the case, that will be brilliant. But if we don't do it on Sunday, we've hopefully got three other opportunities to get us over the line.
Mm. And I asked a similar question to Lance Key, obviously his team manager, in a similar position to yourselves, Tim, that the title is just in a touching distance away. In theory, then, if the title is wrapped up, would attentions turn to sort of resting players in time, obviously for the League Cup, which you're heavily involved in as well? Or as a manager, would you just want to win every game?
Yeah, I think for us, because we haven't been beaten in the league this year, we're 17 wins, one draw from the 18 games so far. So certainly, I think just as a matter of pride, we'd want to try and remain unbeaten for the whole season, because I think that would be a fantastic reflection on how hard the ladies have worked and how well they've performed. We've got a semi-final, as you say, on the 14th of April. So, you know, you want to keep the form and maintain your levels as much as you possibly can, because certainly our goal. I don't attempt fate, but our goal is certainly to win the league and to get through to a final, which we did a couple of years ago, but didn't perform very well and got beat by Haringey. So we're definitely looking to go one better this year.
Mm. Tim, thank you very much as ever. Wish you all the best for this weekend, a potentially title-winning game against Peterborough Northern Star.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Tim.
Cheers.
Tim Rapley there, Cambridge City ladies manager, of course, talking all things at Cambridge City ladies, funnily enough. Of course, they are one win away from clinching the Eastern Region Women's Football League Premier Division title. That is a sentence for me, but one win away, so a really big chance this weekend. They take on Peterborough Northern Star at home as well, so it'd be great to do it on their own turf. It'd be, of course, an impressive 5-0 victory on the weekend against second place Wyndham in the league, and of course they'll be looking to clinch the title this weekend and of course that League Cup semi-final as well, so can they do the double? Right, moving on then, and continuing this fast-paced show, actually only 10 minutes left, but a packed one this evening, and we're turning our attention to St Neots Town now, and they suffered a 4-1 defeat unfortunately to Colville Town last night and now sit third bottom in the table, 5 points behind Lowestoft, who are the team above them in 19th, just outside the relegation zone. Obviously St Neots just in the relegation zone. Manager Mark Abbott joins me on the phone now to discuss it. Thanks for coming on, Mark.
No trouble at all, Ollie.
Yeah, Mark, just quickly talk about last night, really. A disappointing result last night after obviously trying to gather momentum and get points to really push to avoid relegation, but a disappointing result losing 4-1 to Colville Town.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, it's naturally disappointing to finish the game conceding 4 goals. The goals we conceded were pretty soft. I thought Colville were a real handful, made it difficult for us. I thought they were one of the best sides that I've seen at step three, and now be definitely a team that push close for the playoffs, having seen them last night. I think it was a disappointing dressing room. However, we also understand that what a big game Saturday brings in terms of the Banbury fixture.
Yeah, very much so, Mark. And in terms of, I guess, perhaps why sort of last night it would have felt so disappointing as well, because you know if you look at the form beforehand, if you go back to a 1-0 victory over Barwell, then a draw against Redditch, a draw against Biggleswade, so 3 games unbeaten, and then you entered that game against Lowestoft, I guess in decent form, aside, you know, if you, I mean, a big step to really avoiding relegation, beating them,
yeah.
But unfortunately suffered the 3-1 defeat, so that must be really sort of the bitter pill to swallow and still at the back of your mind.
Yeah, slightly. I mean, the group's a real good group. They're learning very quickly, and we want to create a culture where the dressing room is full of players looking to learn the game, and they're all on different journeys. However, the end goal is to keep St Neots in the step three. So we're all on the same sort of page. We're all aspiring to be pulling out points and gaining as many points as possible from now until the end of the season. With the youthfulness comes that sort of inexperience at sort of key moments in the game, and the sort of the last few games, i.e. the Lowestoft game and the Colville game, it was quite similar. Like, we had real good spells of pressure, and unfortunately conceded at poor times in the game that really affected the outcome of the result.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things we spoke about before, really, Mark, with this young squad, one of the positives is that they are very youthful. They're going to be fearless, really. That sort of fearless that comes with youth, and obviously they're going to be aware of the situation, but I guess they're not really going to be sort of worried or about it like potentially more experienced older players will be. So you've definitely got that on your side going into the remaining 6 games of the season.
Of course, yeah. And I mean, as I said previously, all the players are on different journeys. Some have now stepped up from step five, who are sort of worked with previously. Some, i.e. your Scott Pollocks and Ryan Hughes, have just gained professional contracts. So in terms of, yeah, the whole culture that we're creating at the minute is a real positive one, and hopefully we can all sort of chip in and have a positive outcome in terms of keeping St Neots up. We know it's going to be tough, and we're not putting loads of pressure on the players. However, they also are quite aware that we have got to start turning them sort of draws into wins and those sort of gaining as many maximum points as possible from now until the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely so. And six games left, and favourable, really, that only one fixture against sides in the top nine, the rest are against sides sort of 10th place and below. So you've got a few games really that I guess you'll be looking at and trying to pick up points against. Obviously, the other team involved in it is Lowestoft as well. They have four fixtures in the top 12. Will you ever be checking, I guess, what they're doing? I mean, obviously, a usual manager would say you focus on yourselves, but I guess the situation you're in, you sort of have to check how the team above you are getting on.
Of course, yes. I mean, it's a unique situation. Obviously, Barwell picked up a really valuable win against Able Church Tuesday night. So, coming in the dressing room, being disappointed with the performance and also the result. Obviously, we had the disappointment of obviously Barwell churning out another positive result for them, and ultimately it probably just leaves ourselves and Lowestoft in that sort of final relegation spot. I think it's natural to sort of really focus on yourselves, but also be quite mindful of Lowestoft's situation, and I mean they've got a real tough fixture list, so. Who knows what can happen? Football can sort of change very quickly. So we're still positive that we can get St Neots out of the relegation and sort of keep us safe.
Yeah, definitely so, Mark. And if you could, just really quickly, like I say, looking ahead to this weekend, a fixture against Banbury, three places above you. You've also got Hitchin as well. You've got St Ives, only five places above you. And then, of course, a big game as well, of course, against Halesowen Town as well. So lots of big fixtures to come, lots of points you can still pick up.
Of course, yeah, and that's the message that we said to the players after the sort of disappointment against Colville was that, look, games... We've got many more games to come and some very winnable games as well. So I think for us, it's identifying that and really preparing the lads for that sort of the last run-in, really, to gain as many points to help us.
Yeah, Mark, well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I wish Sunit all the best. I really wish you can collect some points over the next few weeks. We'll speak to you and get the update on how St Neots are doing. But all the best for this weekend against Banbury.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Ollie. Thank
Cheers, Mark. Man. Mark Abbott there talking St Neots Town. Of course, a big game against Banbury United this weekend. St Neots in 20th, which is third bottom in the division. Banbury 17th, so a really big game this weekend. Lots of big fixtures to come for St Neots as well. And a couple of big fixtures for underage sides tonight, as well as a few cup finals to tell you about. It's Cambridge City Youth, so they're under-18s, against March Town, under-18s. That's a big game. That's at Ely City tonight, kicking off at 7:30. And another big game is the under-16 Hunts FA Cup final as well. That's St Neots Town Youth against Godmanchester Town White as well. That's kicking off at 7:30 at Huntingdon Town Football Club. So two big local finals tonight. Get down and support the young lads. We're vying for some trophy and some silverware. In terms of your Cambridgeshire County League update, then let's update you on some results from the weekend game. And in terms of this weekend, Bar Hill first in the Kershaw Prem defeated Foxton 5-0. Cambridge University Press defeated West Ratting 6-0. A big win for them. Cherry Hinton beats Hemingford's 4-2. Great Shelford first team defeated St Neots Town, thrashed them 12-0, sending out a message to Linton Granter that they will not be moved off that top spot. Linton Granter responded with a 4-1 victory over Cambridge City FC reserves. In terms of Senior A, updating you on your grassroots football fixtures. Football Institute reserves lost 2-1 to Whittlesford. Gamblingay United beat Milton 6-3. Over Sports defeated Orwell 3-2. Only the three games in Senior A this weekend. And Senior B, lots more fixtures to tell you about. AFC Barley Mow beat Cambridge University Press 5-2. March Town United reserves, top of the table, March Town United reserves, drew nil all with Lake and Heath reserves. Needingworth United beat Newmarket Town 9-2. There was a away walkover as Royce were unable to raise a team against Bluntsham Rangers. St Ives beat Great Chills 7-1. West Ratting beat Wychford 2-1. And Wisby beat St Mary Reserves drew 3-3 with Faxted. What a game that was. But that's it from me on this Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek edition. Up next is Tim Willett with the new music generator. And I'll be back on Saturday with the Cambridgeshire Football Show, looking ahead to all of the weekend's football action. Of course, Terraces returns on Sunday as well. And the results show will be for you Saturday in the evening at 5 p.m. as well. I'll be Ollie Slack. Have a good week. Goodbye.